No. There's no that with this. And plus, this was actually one of the things that one of our listeners asked that we start doing is we have a little banter before, play our main intro, then we welcome everybody to the This and That Podcasting Podcast. I'm Alex Bauer. I'm with my best friend Kyle Dovis. You know, just a little banter. You know, you're going to get a little blooper here and there. I mean, we're human, right?
You're going to get them.
You're going to get them.
You got them for this episode.
So, yeah. Especially with this
episode. Got it for this episode from the producer. from the producing aspects.
So, yeah, today is
about four different episodes.
Four different episodes in one day. Today's January 15th, 2025. This is episode 7, take 500. So, yeah.
Yep. We're on a roll today. Here we go.
We are on a roll, man. I mean, we're already 2 minutes
into our
episode.
I'm waiting for my internet to go out here just to make it even better for us. So,
all right, internet, time for you to go out so that we can do this all over again. All right, top five games of the week again. Between the pick top five and the actual top five, I went 2 for 5. The two games being Washington, Tampa Bay, the Washington game coming down to the wire. Winning it 29-20 on a last-minute field goal. The doink.
Field goal.
The field doink. Goal. So, yeah, that's definitely a big old win there for the Washington Commanders. And then my second out of the five is the Kentucky-Mississippi State game. I predicted this to be in the top five, and I still believe it belongs there with Kentucky winning 95-90. Kentucky going on the road to Mississippi State. It's a tough road win in the SEC. Honestly, if you win on the road in the SEC, you're doing a good job.
It's one of the first big top ranked SEC road wins between each other. So that was a big win for Kentucky. I put money on that one and I won that one. So I had a feeling they were going to take care of business there. They needed to. Yeah, I'm with you. I think I had out of my top five, I had two, I believe, that would actually make it to top five games of the week. I also had the Commanders Bucks. It was exciting game, back and forth. I missed half of it because I had hockey that night, so I got to join in on the last second doink field goal to end it. So definitely fun game. And then yeah, I had my other game as the Ohio State Texas, even though it was a two scored game. I believe that it should be technically a top five game because they didn't really go up by two scores until the end of the fourth quarter. And it was at that time it was coming down to Texas about to tie the game. So it deservingly should be in the top five.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. The other actual top fives that I have, we both agree on the Bruins and the Panthers being there in the actual top five. They had a pretty good back and forth game going 4-3 in overtime.
An OT win.
Yeah, I pulled up the stats and everything when you lost your internet earlier when we were doing our probably second or third take or fifth take or whatever number it was earlier today. And I'll pull them right back up. Just pull them right back up like I did. And
I had to go to B and then
just had to redo everything all over again. I can't remember. What day was that? Friday? Wednesday? Thursday? Jeez.
We had to redo it all.
Saturday. It was on Saturday. All right. There we go. So
Thursday, I want to say that was
there. Looking at that box score there, that's kind of what I did last time. Pasternak getting two goals, one assist, and then you got Swayman. You got 40 saves, and then Reinhardt going with two goals, and then Bob getting 14 saves. I mean, that's quite a game right there, just looking at that box score. I didn't get to watch the game myself, but just looking at it from that standpoint, I mean, that's a game right there.
Yeah, it was a big matchup. It was Boston kind of needed that win, that win for the wild card aspect of. I mean, I know it's still early for the playoffs, but they're still hanging on in the wild card, and they've been struggling lately. So that was a big win for them, and against a top tier team like that.
Yeah. So, and then my three misses for my pick top five, I had the Houston Texans LA Chargers game. That game didn't stand to the chance of being in the top five. The Texans ran away with it, winning 32-12. Chargers were having a tough time scoring. They didn't even score a touchdown until the second half. And, yeah, it was just abysmal. The other one is the LA Rams-Vikings game. Rams kind of ran away with that one, too, 27-9. And then my third one was Alabama-Texas A&M. You could kind of put it in there, but I don't think it's worth it. Alabama gets a road win against Texas A&M, 94-88. But still, I think that the game of Auburn-South Carolina takes its place. South Carolina put up a better game than Texas A&M at the end of the day against Auburn, winning.
Yep.
Auburn won 66-63.
That's on my list, too.
So,
yeah, that was – that's easily should be in there. 66-63. Big win for Auburn against South Carolina. I mean, that would have been a really big win for South Carolina if they could upset Auburn since they're now the number one team. But, yep. Yeah, my actual top five, I think we kind of had similar ones where we both had Chargers-Texans. It was just a nightmare of a game there for Herbert, who just threw like three straight interceptions, one return to the house. Is at that point, that game was over. There was no coming back from that. And then I had the Baltimore Ravens Pittsburgh game, which on paper should have been a okay game, but even the point spread was like plus or minus nine for the Ravens to begin the game, and it kind of played that way. It was just a blowout.
Yeah, then my other one was it was definitely a blowout.
Yeah, it wasn't really close from start to finish. It was ugly. I, on the other hand, won like $180 on that game, so I will take that all day. My other game, my last one was I had the Green Bay Eagles games. I pretty much picked a lot of just playoff games that I thought should have been a good game. Green Bay got killed with injuries in this game, and then Jordan Love still batting an elbow injury. They lost all three of the receivers, so they weren't going to be able to really do much in that game after I think it was once Dobbs went out and Reed went out with Christian Watson already hurt. So, yeah, they weren't winning that game. So, arguably the right teams won in the playoffs, but yeah, that it was a hard one to pick those games from last week.
Yeah, I mean it's gonna be hard for us to pick five games once the NFL leaves, man. Like we're gonna be picking top five games and we're gonna probably go 0-5.
But yeah, I'm gonna be picking like we'll see some Chinese ping pong or something like that.
I think we'll do well, especially since we have some good NHL knowledge ourselves. But yeah, let's dive into our honorable mentions. I'll let you take the first one if you'd like to.
All right, yeah, my honorable mention. I had the Oregon Penn State basketball game where Oregon won 82-81 at Penn State. Penn State was actually losing their best player too. They didn't have their best player for this game. And surprisingly, it was this close. At halftime, it was not close. Oregon was up by, like, I think, like 13, 14 points at half. And then Penn State came storming back in the second half and almost should have won this game, which would have been a cool upset. But anyway, it was a big win for Oregon on the road in the Big Ten. Continues how they played this year. I think they only have two losses, so they're looking like a good tourney team. It was a fun game.
Yep. Yep. They are looking like a pretty good tourney team there. My honorable mention is Iowa State, Texas Tech. This goes to really Texas Tech taking the number three Iowa State into overtime. Iowa State gets things done and they win 85-84 by a point. So this game was like back and forth, tick for tack, and Texas Tech is not really ranked, but taking the number three team that far at home is definitely a big plus. You could probably chalk that up to as a win. In my mind,
I agree. It's definitely a win for Texas Tech and their fans. I mean, Iowa State I think the rankings were released, I think, yesterday or a couple days ago. And what we say, Iowa State's three now. So, I think Iowa State deserves to be three? Probably not. They just have only like one or two losses, so they're going to put them there.
Yeah.
I think they play Kansas, I believe, Thursday or tomorrow or today, so that'll be the true test. We'll see how good Iowa State truly is when they play a team like Kansas. But I think it's at home, so we'll see if Iowa State deserves to be the number three team tonight or tomorrow. I gotta double check the calendar on that one, but I know they play Kansas next, so we'll see on that.
That's definitely gonna be a big Big 12 matchup for them, especially with Kansas being a good blue blood basketball team the way that they normally play.
Yep.
Gut reactions to this week, my two gut reactions, the Commanders look scary. Like they scare me, man. I'm drinking
Watch out, Lions.
I'm drinking my blue Kool-Aid still, but I'm drinking like with fear.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting because the Commanders have a good defense, they're young on offense. It'll be interesting, but you got a good old Knuckles coming back for you guys. So
yeah, that's definitely a big plus. Definitely gonna be a big plus for us if you can get things done. My other gut reaction is, please finish what Michigan started Notre Dame. Please just end everything.
Yes, end our suffering.
End the misery.
And we'll take that one into my gut reactions. My gut reactions, unfortunately, I do think Ohio's going to win it. To me, it's like a win-win. As Michigan fans, it's like, if Notre Dame wins, awesome, Ohio State loss. If Ohio State wins, it sucks. Ohio State won the national championship. We got to hear about it. But the win out of that is Big Ten wins another championship back-to-back. Two, we beat Ohio State the year they won the national championship. So did you really win the national championship if you lost to us the same year? That's got to hurt. So
yeah,
that's my gut reaction. I do think Ohio is going to take care of Notre Dame, even though I still have money on Notre Dame from the very beginning of the playoffs. So I would like Notre Dame to win just for me to make more money. But, yeah. And then my other gut reaction I have is after the AFC playoff games, this upcoming game of the Bills and Ravens will probably be game of the year. It's going to be a very exciting game, and I am ready to watch that one.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. That's definitely going to be a good game of the week, at least game of the year.
Correct.
Yes. And with that, we go into the NFL playoffs, kind of diving in here. I'm going to ask my question first. My question is, which second-round game could possibly be an upset?
I know we talked about this about five times already, so I'll go ahead and just... Yeah, I know. No, I had to. I mean, Commander scared me, like you said earlier. Commander scared me with Detroit. Yeah. I know that's going to be your pick. But I will go with what my original pick was, is because how they played so well against the Vikings, the Rams, I could see upsetting the Eagles.
Yep.
They're just on a different page right now, and I feel like it's how the NFL plays. It's usually never like the best team wins. It's always like a storybook kind of situation when it comes to the NFL, like a playwright or script is ready to come out.
Yep.
Like Patrick Mahomes always wins the Super Bowl this year just so Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift can get married. I think Rams could upset the Eagles to set up the – Matthew Stafford versus the Detroit Lions for the winner goes to the Super Bowl. So I could see the Rams upsetting Eagles in this one.
I can see that. I would like to see that. I'd like to see a Rams-Lions game. That'd be very, very interesting. I'd be very, you know, well into watching that game. I'm pretty sure that game will feed families.
Yes, it will.
But, yeah, I'm definitely taking Washington over Detroit being my upset of round two.
It's a scary game.
It's a very scary game.
That's definitely a scary game.
So, and then your question was?
Yep. My question for you is, should they change home field advantage for best records? Meaning, when it comes to playoff times, the division winner, should they automatically get home field advantage?
I think they should. I think they should.
See,
to a point. To a point. So if you have a losing record and you're the division champion, no, you should not get the home field advantage. That's where I say stop.
It's hard to set the line with having a losing record. It's more, it almost has to be like flat, but I see your point on that. Yeah. You don't want to see them have a home field advantage in that situation. But no, with the way I look at it, I said about it with the college playoff, same way how you reseed it. I really think they should, best record when it comes down to it, should have the home field advantage. So when it's like, I mean, for example, for this weekend, we had the Minnesota Vikings and the Rams. Vikings had to go to LA to play the Rams. when they were a 14-win team. So that, to me, that doesn't sit right. You could have these divisions like the – I mean, recently it's, you had like the Carolina's division with Carolina, Tampa Bay, and the Saints. Their division's been just dog water. So why should they get a home field advantage when they're 8-7 over a Minnesota team that's 14-3 deservingly? Yeah.
I mean,
they deserve a home field advantage because you can't fault them for having to play in having to play the Lions and the Green Bay. Like, all of them could have easily had a home field advantage. They played in the division of the South Division, like the Panthers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and
yeah,
to me, that's, I mean, like, yeah, that's where I would say it's like how we talk about with college football. Like, they just I think they should reseed, not reseed, but home field should just go to the best point. You win your division, you're automatically in the playoffs. So, like, that's your here you go, here's your cookie. You won your crappy division. Now you just automatically get to make the playoffs. You should not get an automatic home field advantage at that point.
I hear you.
So that's where I sit on that one.
But that, I think it should be a tiebreaker too. Like, at the end of the day, like, so if we're saying, what if the Eagles and the Vikings had the same record? Yeah, let's give the Eagles the home and field advantage over the Vikings.
That's fair.
So, like, yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
Yeah, the division winners should take it at that point.
But yeah, like,
Feels absurd that, like, these lower, like, these 9-win teams can have a home field advantage just because they played in a crap division.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, and then I think we
both kind of agree on that.
I can come around, but, like, that's just the thing. Like, I like the way that's laid out myself. I like how the division can get that home field advantage. But, yeah, like, it should come to a point to where – yeah, if you're having a better season, you should get the home field advantage. And then diving right back into the pick 'em, obviously some of our first round picks didn't make it, so just got to re-pick those games. So obviously I chose the Chargers, so I got to go with the Chiefs over the Texans instead now. And then I'm taking the Eagles over the Rams. Yep. I am convinced. I really liked your facts and everything that you laid out. I really like that you know, matchup of Detroit versus Stafford once again in the NFC Championship, this time to go to the Super Bowl. I'm taking the Eagles, unfortunately. Like, I'm picking them.
Yeah, that's fair. No, yeah. My picks are for just this weekend. I agree with you. Chiefs over Texans. I don't think Texans really stand a chance against Mahomes and the refs. So this one's going to be Chiefs easily over Texans. Yeah. I have Detroit over the Commanders. I think Detroit's just going to win it. I got Eagles over Rams. So I agree with you. I think Rams having to play in Philadelphia, I would love to see the upset of the Rams. That's the one I would say if there's an upset that was going to happen. But yeah, I would still put money on Eagles winning this one. So, yeah, I took Eagles, Detroit, Bills, and Chiefs.
Yeah, I still got Detroit over Washington and then Bills over Ravens still. Like, I'm not changing those picks from last time either. Yeah. And then, obviously, I'm taking Bills-Lions. Bills over the Chiefs, Lions over the Eagles, and then – yeah, Bills, Lions, Super Bowl to feed families, and Lions to win it all, finally. You know,
break the curse
of Bobby Lane.
Our finals are still the same, so I got to stick with the Bills then. So I'm still going Bills over Lions in the Super Bowl. Lions finally can make a Super Bowl, so we'll go one step. At least they made it to the Super Bowl finally. But I think it's this year. I think it's Josh Allen's year.
Yeah, I hear you, but I would like to break the curse already. Just break this curse of Bobby Lane.
It'd be great for everybody.
I mean, man.
Yeah.
All right, and so we go into that was crazy. I hit the wrong button there.
The producer's crazy. He's going off script on us. Producer's going off script.
Just playing totally different music that we don't upload.
Throwing curveballs left and right.
All right, upcoming week, obviously. Top five games of the week. I believe we agree on a few of these. Red Wings Panthers is both of our top five games of the week. Commanders Lions, Ravens Bills. And I think that's kind of where we split after those three.
The two football games and the Red Wings.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm saying the other two is going to be the championship, Notre Dame versus Ohio State. I believe that will be top five of the games of the week, but I'm ready to eat my words and say that game was a blowout, and I hope it's not a blowout the way that I think it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah, I know.
And then my other top five game of the week is, well, guess what? We were just talking about them a little bit earlier in this episode. Number four, Alabama visits number eight, Kentucky. Man, on the 18th.
We almost have a straight up top five games to watch. This is going to be easy for next week.
I mean, hopefully I land a 5 out of 5, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Two out of five, so.
See, I have to change my list up a little bit on the fly because when I made my list, it was pertaining to Red Wings beating the Sharks going into playing the Panthers. But now that the Red Wings lost to the Sharks, I really don't see as much of a game of the week. So I will switch that one to the championship game for the Ohio State game. So.
Well, I agree with you putting it in your top five, only for this reason. It's got to be a bounce-back game for the Red Wings. And if they have a bounce-back game against the Florida Panthers...
Oh, it would be a huge win, yes.
It would be a huge win.
Would it surprise me if we lose this game? No, because it's Yeah, so at least put up a fight. Go into overtime and lose. I'm happy with that. That's a point against a top team, so...
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like we could take it in overtime and we'll be fine. Like we can make it a game.
I'll take my point and move on with that one. Yeah. So yeah, I see. Like that was kind of pertaining to like I was hoping Red Wings were going to be about like the 8 win streak going into play the big boys, but they could still be a top game. But I'll just throw my honorable mention / I'll include the Ohio State Notre Dame game because that was going to be my replacement if I had to do it. But we pretty much down the line almost had the same ones. We had the Ravens Bills, Detroit Commanders, Alabama Kentucky, Red Wings Panthers / Notre Dame, Ohio State championship game. I think the only one that you didn't have that I had was the Kansas Iowa State game coming up today or tomorrow that we were talking about. I can't remember what date it was. But yeah, that's a big game because I feel like Kansas has to win this game. Well, not really have to, but it would be really good for the resume and kind of like a boost to how their season has gone so far. And it's like a test. It's like a proving point for Iowa State to see, hey, we deserve to be the number three team right now. We're that good still. So yeah, we pretty much had the same ones minus like really that one game.
Yeah, and that leads us into our gut predictions. Obviously, I've already predicted the playoff games for football. So I'll just dive in and say Notre Dame over Ohio State. I'm taking the Irish. Then I'm going to pick the Wildcats to win at home over the Crimson Tide. And then I'm going to take Panthers over Red Wings in overtime.
I like it. See, I'll do that too. Yeah, we talked about the playoffs once. I had the Bills over the Ravens, Detroit over the Commanders. I do think Kansas beats Iowa State. I know it's a road game for Kansas going into Iowa State. Iowa State's hot. I think Kansas is just a much more powerhouse team and – their roster are so built that they should win this game. And I think they're going to start putting it together and turning the season back around, even though turning the season around after only 3 losses. But I think they're going to go in and beat Iowa State. That would be a really big win for that program this year so far. And then I originally put that Kentucky is going to beat Alabama. That was also going on if Kentucky lost earlier. But since Kentucky won this last game, I'm going with Alabama to beat Kentucky because of Alabama just lost. I don't think Alabama's losing 2 games in a row. So I'm going to pick Alabama actually over Kentucky. And then I agree with you. I think the Panthers win, and I could see it going to overtime. So I'll agree with you on that. Panthers over Red Wings in overtime.
That Alabama over Kentucky will be another tough road win.
Road game.
For Bama, and that will definitely boost their resume.
I think after that loss, Bama needs to win this game. So at least for their motivation and to stay within the SEC, you can't fall too far behind these teams like Kentucky and Auburn and Tennessee. You got to win some of those big ones. And I think this is the one that they kind of need to win. So they're going to have everything out on the table in this game.
Yeah. and I totally agree with you there. That leads us into some fantasy focus again. We got that kind of coming back. We missed out on that last week. Kyle said we need to do some duds, some guys that
the poop your pants award.
Yeah, those. We didn't do that when the season ended. This will be obviously on time and on, you know, when we actually did the other awards, but you know.
Yeah, we can stretch it out for an episode. We're just stretching it out. We don't want to do them all together, so we'll do our poop your pants award for another episode.
Yeah. So going back into this, I got my three QBs. You told me to get three.
So before
three
we start, so what it is three duds at each position for the season, not injury related. If it's injury related, like maybe only like three, four games, five games, but not like eight. Not like a Christian McCaffrey. You can't consider him a dud. It was just he's been out the whole time. So
yeah,
that's for people listening. That's what we're considering fair. These three duds.
That's fair. I get that. Yeah, you can't count CMC as a dud. That's just unfair to the man.
That's not fair. Yep.
So my three QBs, I've got probably two of the same as you. I've got Stroud, Mahomes, and then I've got Stafford as my third. I think, he had a good season. But he only had two or three pops at the end of the season. Like he didn't have the season that I would have thought that he would have had, to be honest. Like I thought he would have had a better season, especially the way that the 49ers started off. And like I thought the Rams would have had a better season. Like if I saw like 2020 hindsight, I would have seen the Rams having a way better season than they had.
Yep. I think Stafford's season went on the line of not having Puka and Cooper Kupp healthy the whole season. So I think that really hurt him. Once they came back and were fully healthy, he looked good. I mean, look at the playoffs. He just had an amazing game. Like, I think once they're healthy, he's better. So, yeah, I do like that list. We both had the same. I actually had Jordan Love on mine instead of Stafford. Jordan Love started out super hot. And then after he got hurt and then the bye week, they just turned into a straight running team. And where Jordan Love was drafted, I consider him almost a dud, especially when he started falling off the map was when you needed a good quarterback, and he wasn't there for it.
Yeah.
And then, my number two, I had Mahomes, and my number one quarterback dud was C.J. Stroud. No, I'm not for Ohio State hate, but where Stroud was drafted. Going into the fantasy season, Stroud was drafted as like the number four quarterback or five quarterback off the board, and he turned into like QB like 17. So it was a terrible fantasy season for him.
Because you know me, I have three leagues, and in our league, I had luckily Lamar Jackson, and then I had Lamar Jackson again, and then guess who I didn't pick? Guess who I didn't have in my third league? Lamar Jackson, but guess who I had to pick? I picked C.J. Stroud. And, I had Stafford as my backup for all of them. And guess when Stafford started? Not till after the week of the Texans-Lions game. I didn't start Stafford until after that week. Until after the Lions beat the Texans. I'm like, all right, you lost your start with spot.
stuck with Stroud.
Yep. Like Stroud, you're on the bench. Stafford, you're starting.
Yeah. It was a terrible fantasy season for him. Yeah. So we'll go into my three duds, pooped your pants awards for your running backs this year. My number three, I'm going to go Jonathan Taylor. I know he picked it up late at the end, but for where Jonathan Taylor was drafted, I think he was like the number two running back, number three running back.
Yep.
And maybe he might have finished like 12, 10, somewhere in there. That's not good. He stacked his stats at the very end of the season. So, and it wasn't really even playoffs. So it was more of like week 18. He had an unbelievable game. So, like, where was that the whole season? So that's why he's on my dub list. It was hard to pick between my other two who was going to be my number one. But I'm going to go Breece Hall as my number two dud. Because Breece Hall was also drafted as like a number five running back. And I think he finished outside the top 10 this year. And that whole Jets organization just fell apart, and so did he. So he's definitely on my Poop Your Pants award. Number one who deserved the poopiest of the pants would be Travis Etienne. Oh my God, I had him in three weeks.
Figured out,
killed me. He was drafted in like early second round stock. Finished as like running back 37. Terrible season. I'm never drafting him ever again. He can have all the poopy pants he wants. Oh,
I totally agree with you on two of them. I've got Jonathan Taylor as well, and Travis Etienne as my bottom two. And then coming in real hot here, real hot, Mixon. I think he deserves a poopy pants award. I mean,
Joe Mixon,
the dude dropped off the face of the planet when people needed him in the playoffs.
He did drop off
when they needed him in the playoffs. I needed him in the playoffs. Everybody needed that man in the playoffs, and he scored what, 2-3 points? No, he gets a dud. I'm sorry,
but
he gets a dud of the season. I don't care. No, you can give me all the wins in the season you want.
I'll say you wouldn't even have been in the playoffs if it wasn't for him.
When it matters, I need you.
He was like the number four overall running back. You couldn't have asked for a better season when you draft, because where you drafted Joe Mixon was like the fifth round, sixth round. You drafted him late, so you got so much from him. I will disagree with you on that one. It sucked for your playoffs how bad he did. That's terrible. But God, that dude had an unbelievable season, and then just he fell off the map in the playoffs. But he got you to the playoffs,
and that's why he dropped off in the playoffs. I'm sorry. Like, no, that's it for me.
Again, it's no hate towards the players, because I love Travis Etienne as a player. I think his organization and how they used him just fell apart, and because I think he's an awesome player. Sure. He had a great season last year, but he killed me this year with how just it was more of where he was drafted. The value or the stock that you put into drafting that guy in that position in the early second round kills you when he finishes as not probably a free agent running back would have. So, running back 30 killed me. So, those are our running backs. What are your wide receivers?
I've got a few that probably you can agree with. I've got Deebo Samuel. I've got Moore. And then I've got Waddle.
He's on there.
Yeah. Those are my
three. I was about to put Waddle, too. Wideouts. Actually,
yeah. I think with how Waddle was, like, you know, supposed to produce and drafted this season, he did not meet the mark.
He did. That whole team kind of fell apart with Tua's injury, and then it just like no one did anything. I'll keep it on that same line because we both have Deebo and DJ Moore, so we won't have to be redundant. I'll add another player in. My other one was Marvin Harrison Jr. because, again, the dude was drafted in like average draft position was around second round, maybe late third or early third, late second. So where he was drafted was not a second or third round wide receiver. He was more like an eighth, ninth rounder. He had some good games, he did, but not for where he was drafted. So he's definitely on there for my list also. And I'll throw one more to add onto the Dolphins. I would go with Tyreek Hill is a poopy pants this year.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He definitely
and a lot of drafts he was drafted number one. A lot of drafts he was drafted number one. That was not a number one overall talent you just drafted for how he produced. He was only averaging like 10 points a game, if that. So
maybe that game that he got arrested.
Options to choose from. So the game he got arrested. Game that was the only good one they really had.
Yeah.
Maybe he should be on there too. So like basically we have the Dolphins wide receivers, poopies. Marvin Harrison poopy, Deebo poopy, DJ Moore poopy. You get your reward.
Here's your poopy pants dud award. Yep. All right. And then our tight ends. I've got Dalton Kincaid, TJ Hockenson, and Dallas Goedert for my tight ends. When it comes to tight ends, I feel like this is kind of hard because the tight end. Like you're either gonna have somebody.
It is hard. There's not so many options. It's
literally you have like.
I feel like it would have been fair.
We only have like four or five guys like always repeating on the top five list every week in and week out. Like, and you're just like, yeah, it's gonna be either Kelsey or Kittle or dot 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 or dot dot dot.
I agree. I do think we can come to consensus. I think we do. We both know who the number one poopy pants tight end was this year. I think it should be Dalton Kincaid.
Yep.
Dalton Kincaid was drafted to be like the number, like maybe 3-4 tight end overall. And I think he finished like 18, 19, 20. Like he was way, way worse than what he did. Yeah, he missed a few games, but him and Mark Andrews what happened to him at the beginning of the season? I mean, yeah, he picked it up a little bit near the end, but you drafting Mark Andrews in like the fourth round, fifth round, and that was a terrible pick this year for him because he did nothing the first like 6 weeks. He killed your team a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's
I had
sure.
Mark Andrews, Don Kincaid, and I had your boy in Detroit as my other one also. Good old Sam Laporta just fell off the face of the map to begin this season.
Sophomore slump, man. Sophomore slump.
That's he was a touchdown only. Yeah, it was weird because it's like the first like four or five, six games, it wasn't even touchdowns. He was doing nothing. Like he wasn't getting targeted or even getting catches in the first beginning of the season.
He was just doing the tight end like, job of
in the
blocking.
Later half of the season.
Just blocking.
Blocking, yeah. And then even in the later part of the season, it wasn't like he was putting out these crazy numbers like 10 catches, 100 and some yards. It was basically he only had a good game if he caught a touchdown pass.
Yep. Yep.
So it was like a 9 day game, a 9 day season from last year to this year for what Laporta produced to what you were expecting this year to what you got this year. So
yeah,
I think we had a good list there for them.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I'm gonna wear those poopy pants for Laporta because I think I should take this one for him. Take one for the team.
All right, take it for him. Take one for the team.
Take one for the team. All right, gambling men. Moving on. To some gambling. Gambling. All right. I went 3 for 2 last week with my parlays. I can't really remember which ones hit.
Same. 3 for 2. Same.
Yeah. So going into this week, I've got the Bills money line over the Ravens. Right now it's sitting at -105. I'm liking the Eagles 6-point spread over the Rams, -110. As well, and then this is where I'm going to bite the bullet. The Commanders 9-point spread against the Lions. That's -112 right now. I think the Commanders are going to cover that spread. I am very scared that if it does get less than like a touchdown, it might go the other way. Like the Commanders are
like
we said earlier, they're scary. And they seem to be able to get it done when it's a close game like that. Like it's
yeah, I like it. It's on my pick. So I don't think that game's gonna be a blowout. So that 9 points is screaming put money on Commanders on +9. That was a lot. I was surprised when I saw that spread.
Yeah. So yeah. So I'm taking that. And then my other two, I'm taking the Oilers money line over the Avs. And then I am taking the Panthers money line over the Red Wings. Even though I would like to take the Red Wings puck line
over the Panthers. You're going to get plus money on that, but.
Yeah, you're going to get tough. Plus money.
Yeah, the puck line's not bad. The puck line's like +1.5, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they just have to win by, or at least lose by a goal, and you win. So Red Wings lose by a goal, I win. Red Wings win. I win.
Yeah, a lot of those good games are really close, anyways, too. So it could be a win-win, like you said. No, so last week I went 3-2. Also, I'm 17-11. It was rough last week. I also have the Bills money line. I like it because of it's minus money, but it's low minus money. So I do like the -110 on that. So I'll take Bills money line. I, too, also love the Commanders +9 versus Detroit. I'm not saying Commanders are going to win, but that's a lot of money in a second-round playoff game, and Commanders are a good team, so with a good defense. I don't see Detroit blowing them out, so I see it being a one-score game. So that's – if there's ever a guarantee pick that I really like, I do like that pick. Let's see. Yep, those are the only ones that we had the same. So the other ones I have are the Baylor Bears over – not over, but when they're playing Arizona, they have a +5.5 spread. I know it's a road game, but I do like Baylor. They're just they're a better team overall. Arizona's having a terrible down year, so I like Baylor +5.5 in that game. I like the Kansas money line over Iowa State tonight, like we talked about earlier. I think Kansas wins this game, and you're going to get plus money on it. So
yep.
I think Kansas is a better team, so might as well take the plus money line on that and take your money. My last one, I got the Ohio State Notre Dame game. It is a 45.5 point spread, and I like the over on it for this one. So there's two good defenses, but Ohio State, I think, has average like 30-something points a game. I think even if Ohio State wins, like I think they probably will, I think Notre Dame still puts up 20, 21 points somewhere in there. Ohio State's going to put up at least 25. So right there, if it's just 25 to 21, you beat your spread. So I do think it's the score is going to be in the 20s. I think it's going to be more of the high 20s. Ohio State could blow them out. I don't see this game being a low-scoring game or lower than that. So not necessarily a high-scoring game. But 45.5 points is a low point spread, or not point spread, but the over-under. That's a low over-under for a college football game, even though it's two good defenses.
Yeah.
So I would smash that over on that 45.5, and that's the one I'm going to take.
Totally. I mean, yeah, that's very convincing right there to me. I mean, sure. Yeah, I'll take that money. Going into our top player props of the week, I've got DeBrincat anytime scorer. I've got Gibbs with anytime TD. Somebody at your door? What was that?
No, I accidentally hit the gong.
Oh.
No, it was my cup. I accidentally hit it.
I hit the gong. Oh, my goodness. All right.
Congratulations. It was a good pick. I was gonging you for it.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I like the break hit anytime score. I mean, damn. Yeah,
You get the gong.
And then Gibbs anytime TD, and then Henry anytime TD. I like those three player props of the week.
Yeah, those are good. I was 0-3 last week. I deserved the Poopy Pants Award for last week's player prop bets. I was 0-3. So that one brought me up to 9-6 over all my player props. But I also have a Gibbs anytime touchdown. It makes me nervous with Montgomery being back, but I truly don't know how much they're going to use Montgomery. There's no way he's 100% healthy or even 80% healthy with a busted up knee like that. So it does make me nervous that he's playing, but I still think Gibbs is going to get a majority of the workload. So I also have Gibbs anytime touchdown. I think the game is going to be a little bit high scoring, so that's why I like the Jaden Daniels 1.5 touchdown passes. I think he's going to throw for over at least 2 touchdowns, so I'd smash the 1.5 touchdowns. The last one will be Josh Allen over on his passing yards. That line's not out yet because we're recording on a Wednesday. The game's not till Saturday, Sunday, so they usually don't post those lines until Friday, Saturday-ish. Usually. But whatever that line is, unless it's absurd and it's like 280, 270, don't take it. Typically, those lines with those guys are throw a lot around 230. I would smash that because Ravens' defense is really good against the run. I think this game also is going to be a high-scoring game, weather-dependent. If it's a clear, just cold game, I think it's going to be a high-scoring. So I would go with the over on Josh Allen passing yards. I think he's going to throw for at least like 250, 260, somewhere in there. Possibly more. So I like the Josh Allen over on passing yards.
Nice. I like that. All right, let's see what we don't like. What we don't like, I don't like the Houston-Kansas City game. I'm just going to not touch that at all. It's heavily favored towards Kansas City. I don't see it really going the other way towards Houston at all. I mean, you can touch like yards and stuff if you want to, but I just think it's not worth putting the money on it. And then do not bet against Duke. Just don't do it. Carolina fans, just don't do it.
They're a good team. Don't do it. Don't bet against them.
I mean, the kid, Flag, 42 points in one game.
He just balled
game.
Out.
He balled out.
Shoo! So, yeah, don't bet against Duke. That's my other don't bet on it.
Nope, I like it. I also have the Houston and Kansas City game. I just don't think that game you should touch because I think Chiefs are going to win, but I just don't know. I can't see how this game's going to go. Chiefs' defense are really good. Their offense is not that good, but it's Mahomes in the playoffs. So Mahomes in the playoffs, could he just magically throw 4 touchdown passes, and it could be a shootout game. Or it could just be a boring 16-3 game. I don't know, but I do think Chiefs winning this. So if you're going to bet anything on the Chiefs, just bet the money line, and you're not going to get good money on it. So, yeah, I don't like touching that game. Excuse me. My other one I have is Alabama and Kentucky game this weekend. especially now coming after an Alabama loss and a Kentucky win, Alabama going in there. I don't like touching that game because that's the money line's going to be pretty much neutral on both. The spread's going to be low, and the over-under is going to be hard to hit because they're two high-scoring teams. So it's unless you are a diehard follower of Alabama and Kentucky and you know their players so well that you can guarantee a player prop with like rebounds and points, I just wouldn't touch it. It's going to be too hard to predict that game unless you just you really like Alabama and you like the plus money. But I'm not touching it because it makes me nervous.
Yeah.
My last one will be the James Cook running back for the Bills. Take don't touch his yards. Don't do it because I have a feeling Vegas probably won't do it, but they might boost his yards, like the over-under in his yards a little bit because of the game he just had where he put up 130, 140 yards in the first round. So I think they might bump his yards up just a little bit for people to be like, oh, maybe I'll take it. Don't do it. Ravens defense is really good. I mean, I could be completely wrong on this, but I just there's one that I don't like.
Just go back on what you were saying earlier.
I personally wouldn't put money on it.
You were saying earlier that the Ravens defense was very run, like
so good against the run.
Yeah, Josh Allen's going to get more yards than anything. Like it's going to be relying on Josh Allen.
If anything, take Josh Allen's rushing yards over, not James Cook. If you're going to do James, I mean. See, I think they're just going to bump his yards up a little bit where they're going to dare you to take the under or take the – it's going to be hard to determine his yards. So don't take his player prop as yards.
It's going to be like, the club went further than the ball. Oh, wait, the QB went further than the running back.
The quarterback went further than the running back. Yeah, I think this game is just going to be a Josh Allen game. Josh Allen versus the Ravens, honestly, said, yep, don't touch James Cook. Don't do it.
Yeah. All right, and that leads into our homeward bound portion of this. Oh, tough loss for your Packers. I'm sorry, Kyle.
That's all right.
Man, oh man.
We talked about it a little bit. They had some devs. I mean, the week before, Jordan Love got hurt on his elbow. Christian Watson tore his ACL. So we're already down, banged up quarterback, down our number one wide receiver. Start the game with a freaking fumble on the kickoff, which he did recover. I don't know why that didn't get returned or overturned, but
that was
what it is.
I was watching. I was like, whoa, oh no, boy.
So this is how this game's going to go. Great.
Yep.
And it actually is how that game ended up going the whole time for the Packers. It was just a mess to watch that game. That was terrible.
Not a good start.
It came down to the fourth quarter. They were still one score from they were still only like one score down from tying the game in the fourth quarter with everything that happened went wrong for them. Lost two other wide receivers, so they're missing their wide receiver. One, two, three, two of their offensive linemen. It was just mess to watch. They stayed in it longer than I thought they would have stayed in it. But, it is what it is. I think they'll move on next year, I think they probably should draft another wide receiver. But they usually don't. They usually take one in like the second, third round. So I don't know. We'll see. They'll survive.
Yeah, they will.
All about your Lions. All about your Lions now.
Yep. Drinking the blue Kool-Aid now with their tough matchup against the Commanders. Anyways, Wolverines. I believe they will get it done in Big Ten play now. I mean, I'm pretty psyched about the rest of this.
I think they will.
You know, Big Ten season here, especially.
I love their schedule. They don't have too much like a crazy tough schedule like some of the other teams do, especially like the SEC teams do. When I went through it when we were doing our notes, I realistically saw them maybe finishing the season with only like 9 losses, 8 losses, and that's like at the very worst to me. So this team could win like 20 plus games, finish with only like 8 or 9 losses, and that's a pretty good rebound from only winning 8 games last year. They just got done beating the crap out of Washington. They have a fairly easy. I don't want to say easy. It's your conference play, so it's never easy. But they have an easy week this week compared to other teams because they have Minnesota coming up at Minnesota. Trap game. Don't look at it because they're going to be looking forward to their next home game. They always play Minnesota tough at Minnesota. They should take care of business in that game. And then they got Northwestern at home. Easily finished. Not easily. They should finish with 2 more wins. start the Big Ten season with 7-0 conference record, so that'd be a great start.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be a great start for any Big Ten team. I mean, dang, yeah, everybody would be asking for that.
I don't like the ranking. I think they have it wrong with them being 20. It doesn't really make sense to me why they're the 20.
It's because we lost to Wake. It's because we lost to Wake.
But Wake's not terrible.
And Arkansas. And Arkansas. But
again, their losses aren't bad. Wake Forest is a quad. Technically, it's still a quad one loss because it was at Wake Forest, technically. Oklahoma is ranked team. And then Arkansas was a ranked team, so we kind of need Arkansas to win. But we didn't get blown out. It was by 1 or 2 points.
Yeah.
But how do we go from 24 to 20 after we blew out UCLA? That's what confused me on that one.
Yeah, with the big wins. Yeah.
At UCLA, and you only move us up 4 spots, really. And then when you go to KenPom's net rankings, which is what most of them use to decide how tourney teams go, Michigan's net ranking is like 9. We're 9 in the country. How are we 9 in the net ranking? How are we 9 in the net rankings and 20 in the overall? It's kind of just weird.
I like when they're coaches are coaches and they do what they want to do.
Yeah, I like lower rankings because it's like the eyes aren't on you. But
at the end of the day, we could be part of the associate press, Kyle. Like we can join that.
Yeah, I'm gonna join it now.
I mean, we're doing a podcast, so we can be part of the associate press now.
Exactly. I think at the end of it. At the end of it, vote, I think
Michigan number one.
Yeah, every time Michigan number one. All of them should win the Naismith Player of the Year, Michigan Heisman every year. No, at the end of the day, I think the Wolverines finish at least a 4 seed or higher, unless something drastic happens this season. I can see them going in. Right now, they have them projected as a 4. Like I think the second 4, so I do see them finishing at least 4 or better.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. And then you've got a little note over there about the pack losing to the Heels, unfortunately. Taking a tough loss there.
Game was a tough loss. Yeah, it was a tough loss. I mean, watched that one because I was like, let's put it on and see what happens.
It's the Tar Heels, man. I mean, they're going to get things done, especially against rival teams, especially like the Wolfpack or the Duke Blue Devils. But I think the Pack has to face them a second time. I believe
they still got to play one more time. They still got to play one more time, but it'll be at Chapel Hill.
If they're anything like the SEC, you have 3 teams that you face twice, and
they usually play UNC twice. Unfortunately, it's going to be in Chapel Hill, so I don't think they're going to beat them in Chapel Hill.
That was a home game.
And they were up by like 8 points, and then UNC came back and beat them. It was a good game to watch, but tough loss. They can still move on. They just need to get their schedule together. Like, expect to lose to Duke, expect to lose to some of these big teams, and just take care of the games you should win, and NC State can still turn around and be a tourney team.
Yeah. And then I've got a note over here. I think the Deeks are looking like a good Cinderella tourney team. They're kind of turning things around. They're not
– They only have 4 losses or 5 losses. They're a good team.
They're a good team. They're going to sneak in as, like, that 11 seed, 12 seed, 10 seed – maybe the 9 seed and be like that Cinderella team that makes a good run to like the Sweet 16. I feel like they're gonna do something like that this year. I feel like they're gonna give us that surprise.
I can see that because, like we said, they were projected to begin the season as the number 3 team in the ACC. So they're on pace to do that. And that's why I just said earlier, it's like our Michigan's losses are to a good Deacons team. Lost a good Arkansas team and lost a good Oklahoma team. So, yeah, I do think the Deacons could easily make a run when it comes to tourney time because they're going to probably slip into that maybe last 4 in or like a 10 seed, 9 seed, somewhere in there if they can finish the season strong. So, yeah, they could easily be a scary team if they get it together at the right time.
Yep. And with that triad link, we'll segue this into some hockey. Greensboro getting an ECHL team. Greensboro Gargoyles.
You get to play in the good old Greensboro Coliseum, bringing hockey back to the Coliseum.
Yeah, and we have to thank the guys from Spit and Chicklets, Barstool, David, or
Portnoy, El Presidente.
You got to thank him because he's like over all those guys, but really you have to thank Patrick Whitney and then what's the other dude's name? Bissonette. Yeah, Paul. Yep. That guy.
Well,
yeah. I still have a gripe with him with what he did to Larkin the other time. Anyways, that's in the past, though. And I think, speaking of Larkin and the Red Wings, I think the Red Wings need to trade for some defensemen, or at least...
I think they need to go after at least one more defense. A good, solid defenseman. Trade some of these draft picks that you had, or some of these younger guys. Not on the team, but go after a stud defenseman to help the team. And it would help. I think they're just missing one more solid, all-star caliber type defenseman, and they would be set.
And that's what we need. I was literally talking to your dad about this on Monday night when we were sitting there.
I agree.
So I
don't want to see them trade their big guys. Don't trade Sandy. Don't trade Pelican. Don't trade some of these big guys. But you can get rid of some of the sub ones that were. They might not. They still have good. They're still a good prospect. Don't get rid of the goalies. Augustine looking like a stud after the gold medal game. So in that whole tournament. So don't get rid of Augustine.
Nope.
Keep the goalies. Don't get rid of Casa. Get rid of some of those minor prospects that are. We spent draft capital on it, but it's maybe not looking like they're going to see the ice anytime soon. Get rid of some of those, or throw in some draft picks to get one of these all-star defensemen in on. Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. I think they need one more solid piece on that blue line for them.
Yeah. Yep. And then Canes looking top tier. I think we both agree on that.
They're a good team. They're going to be tough. I'm going to say it every time we talk about them. I also think they need to add a person, but I think they need to add another scorer on the team. They need a superstar.
Yeah, they need
one more good winger on that team, especially when it comes to the playoffs, because what hurt them in the playoffs last year and it hurt them the year before is their power play in the playoffs. Last year was horrendous. That's why they lost. Their power play was terrible. So they just get one more really good goal scorer. Maybe not a superstar, but just a guy that you can throw out there, like how Red Wings have Kane. He might not play that many minutes, but when it comes to the power play, he is a guy you got to watch out for. So, that kind of guy, necessarily, for the Canes to get them one more boost on the special teams.
All right. Yep. And so that wraps up our episode 7 of This and That Podcasting Podcast. Next week, we'll look back on how we did with our top 5 game picks of the week. And if we made any more gambling money or not. I mean, I hope we did.
I can only do better than what I did.
And then we'll obviously look back at the NFL playoffs after the second round commences, the championship game, talk a little bit about that, give a good review of the college football season as a whole, how we felt about that. Obviously, we're going to, rip on the team no matter what, even win or loss,
Win or loss, we'll still rip on them. We still beat you.
Yep. So, with that, I'm Alex Bauer.
And I'm Kyle Davis.
Y'all have a good rest of your day. Make sure you like, subscribe, do all that good stuff. You have yourself a good day.
And we'll see you next week.